Morning all. Welcome to church. Last night we had about 450 people here, kids dancing. It was crazy. Energy's been sapped, but you all look fresh, so that's good. But because of that, we've taken a step out of our 1 Corinthians series just for today, and we'll be thinking about what it means to think the thoughts of Christ. So thinking about our thought life. So let's pray as we head into this passage. Father, we thank you for our time together. We thank you for the week that's gone and all the kids who heard the gospel through the story of Narnia and Aslan giving his life for Edmund. Thank you that you've given your life for us, Lord Jesus. And as we seek to live as your people, what happens in our heads and in our minds is an important part of that, and we often don't talk about that. So help us as we spend these precious moments thinking on your word and how we are to think. So guide us in this, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. A number of years ago, we were on our way to Paris, and we were in a bus, and the tour guide guys or ladies said, "When you get there, you'll be tempted to go to the Louvre, because everyone does, but you'll be greatly disappointed. You'll line up, there'll be lots of people, you'll walk through room after room, you won't recognise a single piece of art, and then you'll get to the Mona Lisa, there'll be people everywhere, and your first thought will be, oh wow, it's small." And she said, instead, go to another museum, go to the Musée Rodin, because if you go there, you'll recognise a piece of art in every single room, and there won't be as many people, and you'll love it. So we took her advice and went to the Musée Rodin, and it started like every other art gallery that I've been to, looking at every piece of art, within 10 minutes of practically running from room to room, taking sideways glances, trying to get this cultured experience out the way so I can go and eat. But we did find one piece of art that we did recognise, despite the promise to see one in every room, which is a sculpture by Augustin Rodin called The Thinker. You might have seen it. It's a guy with his, there it is, picture there. And it's a very, very famous piece of art, isn't it? A guy deep in thought, thinking about life and the turmoil going on in his mind. Whenever I think about thinking, that's kind of the picture is in mind, isn't it? You know, your head down, deep in thought. Now, I don't know if you know much about your brain, but it's an incredible thing. It's got somewhere between 12 and 14 billion cells in it, and each of those cells connects to something like 10,000 other cells exchanging nerve impulses, which means if you put it all together, your brain and all the electrical activity, it would be something like 1,000 times more powerful than New York City's power grid. Incredible. If you combine all the TVs and radios in the entire world, there's more brain electricity going on in your head than in the whole world. That's crazy, isn't it? God's made our brains incredibly. We have the most incredible capacity to think. We can dream up all sorts of crazy things, can't we? Crazy things. We can wrestle with complex arguments. We can solve great maths problems and win quiz nights. We can perform music and literature and art. But with our minds, we can kind of come up with the worst of crimes as well and do the most evil things. And we can also do great goods and plan and plot good things for other people. And it all happens between our ears in this porridge-like substance called your brain. Now, the question I want to deal with is, how should the Christian think? How should the Christian think? It's not an easy topic to talk about because the only person's thoughts that you know are your own. So I've only got my thoughts and my thought processes to know what it must be like to be you and to have your thought processes. And you're probably glad I can't see your thinking, but we know that God sees all of our thoughts. Even right now, he knows what's in our mind, what's going on, which in one way is reassuring, in another way is terribly scary, isn't it? Because he's the judge. And he will judge us according to what we see, do, think with our lives. Well, God hasn't been silent on how to think, and as we're going to work through the pages of Scripture today, we're going to see that God's got a lot to say about thinking and our thought life, and I'm going to take you on a bit of a guided tour this morning of some of those passages that God will help us to think about our thinking, to know what's going on in our head. And I hope that as we do that, you'll be encouraged. No doubt you'll be rebuked and corrected and challenged as well. And like me, have things that you need to confess before the Lord. We want to know together, how would we think like Jesus? How would we have thoughts like he would have, the mind of Christ? So let's go to it. Let's start, though, by thinking about non-Christian thinking or the sinful mind. Quite obviously, Adam and Eve, when they were first created, didn't have a sinful mind, but they shook their fists at God and they wanted to remove him. By their actions, they said, "We're sick of playing second fiddle to you, God. We want the lead role. We want to be God ourselves. We want to decide what's good and evil. We want to plan lives ourselves." And from that point on, the mind has been corrupted by sin. The desires of our heart soon go into our minds as we think about the things that we want. And if we were to show any of our brains thoughts on the screen behind me this morning, well, none of us would show our minds, our faces in public ever again, would we? There's a guy in the 1500s who said, "There is no man so good who, were he to submit all of his thoughts and actions to the laws, would not deserve hanging 10 times over in his life." Now, I don't think I need to explain to you what a depraved mind is like, because you've got one. You know what it's like to have sinful thoughts in your mind that focus on yourself and evil and not always good. Romans 1 talks about what it is to have a depraved mind. Those who worship themselves and images and other things other than God. Listen to these words from Romans 1, verse 28. "Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but approve of those who practice them." Well, those who reject God have a depraved mind, perverted, corrupt, thinking about things that result in the terrible things in this list that we've just read. And amazingly, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount addresses sin by addressing our thinking. And he says, you know, if you just lust in your mind, if you hate somebody, then you're guilty of murder and adultery, all those sins that happen in your mind. So what about the Christian mind? Is the Christian mind different from this depraved mind? How are we who have been forgiven from our sins, been adopted as sons and daughters of the living God, how are we to think differently in our thinking? Well, let me just take you to three passages that say something about our thinking. Romans 12, firstly, after 11 chapters of theology, Paul now talks to how should you live if you've been saved by Christ. Romans 12, verse 1. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." So Paul's saying, once you've been saved by Jesus, then you need a whole new way of thinking, a whole new way of living. You won't live like you did before. You won't think like you did before. You need a transformed mind. Now, my family are pretty big on Transformers. We've watched all the movies and we've got a bunch of Transformers still in the toy box. But this idea that your thinking, once you've come to Christ, will not be the same anymore. It'll be transformed. You've experienced the grace and mercy of God, And that was reflected in no longer living for yourself, but living for Christ, and a new way of thinking altogether. Now, secondly, Matthew 22, there's an expert of the law who comes to Jesus to question him on the most important commandment. And Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. See, the Christians to be so consumed by God that he fills our minds. Our thoughts are occupied on him. Loving God with everything that we've got includes in our minds, thinking about his wonder, his beauty, his grace, his kindness, his salvation through Jesus. And finally, just a very short passage as we read earlier in our 1 Corinthians series in chapter 2, verse 16, that says, but we have the mind of Christ. The idea that having been transformed by God by his grace, having been given the Spirit of God to live in us, in some way we have the mind of Christ. The very way of thinking that Jesus had has been given to us, transformed in our mind to think the way that Jesus would, to think Jesus' own thoughts. Well, we've talked about this amazing thing called a brain, our mind, capable of all sorts of marvelous and evil things. We've talked about the non-Christian way of thinking, the Christian way of thinking. But how are we to do that? How are we to have a transformed mind? How are we to dwell on God and the things that would please him, loving others? Well, of course, the problem is that so often, though we've been made new, we've forgiven, we still live according to the old man, of course, the way of the sinful man. We've been forgiven, we've been set free, but the temptations of this world are real to us. They come to our minds. The influences of this world are real, and our temptations to live the old way. Romans 12, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You'll know it's not an event, it's a process. It happens over time, over our whole lives, bit by bit. Now, parents, you won't notice that your kids are growing from day to day. They'll look much the same. Us older ones won't notice that our wrinkles are increasing day by day. But if we look back at old photos, we can see it. If we look back at the measuring wall in the house where we measure the kids, we can see that there's been transformation. But we can't do that with our thinking, can we? We can't take a photo or measure our thinking to go, how's my thinking today different from my thinking a year ago, 10 years ago? Is my mind being renewed? It's a process. So I want to give you four things that the Scripture gives us to transform our minds, to think the thoughts of Jesus, to have our minds like him, to take our minds off ourselves and move them to God and others. Well, the first way of doing that is to understand and to think on the gospel of grace. The more that you recognize, and I recognize our sin and our salvation through Jesus alone by grace, that will change the way that we think. Sinners bound for hell being transformed into saints bound for heaven by the grace of God only through the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. Spend any time thinking about that, and gratitude will result in your mind. Thinking on grace will motivate you to live for him and not for yourself. One of the reasons we celebrate communion every week is we want the gospel of Jesus to be in front of us, to change the way that we think. The second way to change the way we think is to think God's own thoughts after him. In other words, by reading the Bible, reading the very words of God so that his thoughts can become our thoughts. Now, the mind of a woman is a mystery to a man. It's a common quote, isn't it? And it's a reality. It's interesting. I've been married for 28 years now, and I'm pretty often now know what my wife is thinking. Don't always know why she's thinking that, but I do know often why she's thinking. And how's that happened? Well, just 28 years of knowing her, being with her, conversing with her. How do you know the thoughts of God?
Well, by being with him, by reading his thoughts in the Word, by spending years with him, getting to know him, that his thoughts can become our thoughts as we spend time in his Word. There's some great passages about this. Psalm 119 is the longest psalm and a great psalm about how God's words become, so important for us. But this section in Deuteronomy 11 will help us as we think about bringing his words into our life. Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them to your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on your door frames of your houses and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be in the land that the Lord swore to your forefathers, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. Well, do we do that? Do we read the words of the Lord? Do we have them in our head? Are they coming out of our mouth? Are they in our conversations at home with our kids, with our family? Are we thinking about God and his words from morning to night? Are they written on our door frames or our gates or our back of our toilet doors or in our cars or on our screensavers? Do we have the word of God in us? Are we reading it? Are we sitting in the Word of God each day or regularly before that? Are we joining together to hear the Word of God read publicly and preach from? Are we joining together in a growth group to go deeper with those passages, that the Word of God may dwell in us, that they may change the way we think? Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them to your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. The other good thing you can do in that place is not just read your Bible, but read a Christian book or two every year. If that's not your habit, then, try and read one Christian book this year. That'd be a great thing for you to help with your mind as well. Well, we've talked about being transformed by the renewing of your mind, by dwelling on the gospel, by meditating on God's word. But what happens with all those thoughts that come into our minds? You're just wandering along, you're going for a walk, and suddenly there's lust, there's greed, there's pride, there's jealousy, there's revenge. These thoughts, they kind of just come from nowhere. They enter our minds. What do we do with those thoughts? Well, if you've ever had those white butterflies in your garden, what do you do with them? Well, you go find a net or a tennis racket and you go and catch them. You take them out. 2 Corinthians 10 says this: "The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." We take captive our thoughts and make them obedient to Christ. Our mind's actually under our own control. It's not just an automatic thing, just like our words and our actions. We actually get to control our own minds. And when unhelpful things come to our minds, sinful things, well, we need to catch them. We need to stop them. We need to stick them into prison and rehabilitate them until they're focused on the mind of Christ. They're changed. Just like when you pull out weeds from your garden or wipe down the dirt from your kitchen bench, we should remove those thoughts from our minds and give yourself a good talking to when they do come. Phil, stop it. Don't think about that thing. And maybe when these things come to your mind, a good way of changing your thinking is to pray about that thing that you were thinking about, that person, that event, that thing. It's hard to keep hating somebody when you're praying for their good. I remember reading a book by Kent Hughes called Disciplines of a Godly Man, and he spent a whole chapter talking about TV, internet, screens, books, magazines, and his theory was that these things in a Christian home were actually no different from a non-Christian home. That was his experience, that was his research, that if you went to a Christian home, they're watching the same stuff as a non-Christian home. Well, I hope he's wrong. But of course, if your mind's like mine, you only need to watch or see one image or one scene or hear one set of words, and these can stay with you for days, weeks. They're stuck in your mind. Junk in, junk out. And TV, screens, books, magazines can be a great source of junk. And so one way of helping control our thinking is controlling what goes into our minds, what we expose ourselves to. And if it's your smartphone that's causing you the trouble, well, throw it away. Get a dumb phone. Jesus says it's better to go to heaven with one eye than go to hell with two. Well, the final passage that we are going to look at is the one we just had read out, Philippians 4. Great passage. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. In other words, use a strainer in your mind. Strain out the things that are bad and evil, false, untrue, yucky, shoddy, unworthy of praise. Toss them away. Replace them with things that are right and true and lovely, excellent and praiseworthy. May those things occupy our thinking. Well, we set out this morning to think about thinking. What kind of thinking do we do? Is it the mind of Christ? Is it the depraved mind? Are we focused on things that are evil or sinful in our minds, or on Christ, on God? Are we being transformed day by day in our thinking? And so, four pieces of advice from the scriptures. Dwell on the gospel. Read your Bible. Catch the thoughts that are coming into your mind. Don't expose them to things that they shouldn't see or hear. And think on the good and not the evil. I'm going to give you some time to pray as we confess to God our sin in this space and ask Him for His help as we seek to think His thoughts.